Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. It's Wednesday, hump day, meaning we have services here tonight. We'd love to see you. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, I invite you guys to church tonight. You guys still have 27 minutes to make it to church. Now, we are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. It's Island Community Church. We will be in, we'll be looking at Holy Communion. We will be in the second half of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Hopefully we'll crack into chapter 12 as well. Verse by verse, we roll out the dry erase board. It's open for questions, comments, hopefully answers. It's much more informal than a Sunday morning is. So you are invited. We'd love to see you. Here now is part two of this message on the radio from my sermon I just preached on Sunday. We're in Colossians. This sermon's entitled, Jesus Paid It All. And indeed, he did pay it all. The Apostle Paul has been lifting up and exalting the Son of God here with this sermon, with this whole letter here to the Colossians, a church that he's never been to or visited, and a city he's never been to or visited. We're going to look at some of these awesome things that the Apostle Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus did. He wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he's taken them out of the way, having nailed them to his cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, over them, triumphing over them in it. There's some great things that have transpired in the spiritual realm that we can't see that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and me, which is why the prophet Isaiah can say that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. After all that the Son of God has done for you behind the scenes, which you know not of, now we know it. Here's part two of this message now. Again, we'd love to see you at 6 o'clock tonight. This Sunday, we'll pick it up where we left off. We'll be in chapter 3 of Colossians, Sunday morning, 10:30. More on that as the weekend draws near. Let's hear the second part of this message now. Jesus paid it all. Right? That's the Great Commission, right? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to everyone. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They asked Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38. All right, you've convicted me. What do I do now? What did he say? Repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus for the washing away of your sins. We're not going to poo-poo that verse, and we're not going to run from it. That's what he said. We need to deal with it. And why would you not want to do that? I mean, I don't understand. Look, when you were baptized in this church, we get up here. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, he says, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And that's how we do this. Important or not? I mean, who can think of a better Sunday than to have Jesus Christ speaking your name out loud in heaven at 9 minutes after 11? I mean, right? Let me go back to Romans 6:3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. See, you're not buried with him by driving around in your car and saying to God that you're sorry. That's a good thing.
but you're not buried with him, driving around in your car saying to God you're sorry. You are buried with him right here and here alone. Here alone. Not driving around in your car. It's there in this tank or somewhere else. I was baptized on the beach. I was baptized twice. There's probably 24 people in this church that got baptized twice. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may live a new life. He continues here, Romans 6:5. And I'm reading from the NIV. This might sound different, but humor me. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be destroyed, so that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Because he who has died has been set free or freed from sin. Well, guess where the death occurs? Right there. May the Lord grant us the wisdom and understanding this. Now back again from verse 12. We're in Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith. That is through faith because you can't see it. Something's happening there that you just can't see. You got to receive it by faith because he's telling you this is what happens here. Through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made you alive together with him. Hey, that sounds just like Ephesians, doesn't it? That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in transgressions and sins in which you once walked. You see, he wrote these letters back to back. He was in jail. He wrote Ephesians, put it down. Then he got out his pen and he wrote this. This was still fresh in his mind. That's why you're reading this exact same thing that he said to that church. So you, being dead in the trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Wow. Look again. This is the same as the first week here in the study. Look at all the things that the Lord has done to us, through us, for us. Number one is that you who were dead, he made you alive together with Christ. Number two, he's forgiven you of all of your trespasses. Number three, he's wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against you. So what on earth does he possibly mean by that? Handwriting of requirements that was against us. Let me attempt to explain this. First, the word for wiped out means erased. The Greek word for requirements, believe it or not, is the Greek word dogma. So the handwriting of requirements that was against us describes the law. In a sense, the Ten Commandments were against us, and condemning us because we did not keep them perfectly. But the Apostle Paul is thinking not only about the Ten Commandments, but about the ceremonial law that was given to Israel. In the ceremonial law, there were all kinds of commandments with regards to holy days, foods, and other religious rituals. These were all part of a prescribed religion of the Jews. They pointed forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. They were shadows of his person and his work. In his death on the cross, He took all of this out of the way and nailed it to the cross, and canceling it as a bill is canceled when the debt is paid. You know, that reminds me of one of my old favorite Three Stooges episodes, where Curly is trying to test some old guy's reflexes, and he keeps banging him on the leg, and he keeps hurting his hand, so he pulls up the guy's pant leg, and the guy's got a wooden leg. And on the wooden leg is a sign nailed on there that says, "Post no bills." And he's looking at his hand. You see, that was common back in the day, to post ordinances and other things and nail them to a wooden board. That's what they did. Now, what the Lord Jesus did is even better yet. Post no bills. You know, the Bible says he took all these rules and commandments that condemned you as sinners, and he took them all out of the way, and he nailed them to his cross, where it could be written now on that cross, "Post no bills." Just like the leg that he hit, "Post no bills." You see, Jesus paid it all. So post no bills here. Post nothing on here anymore. That's the place where they posted them. That's what he did. He nailed them all right there to the cross. Post no laws, because Jesus paid it all. Post no man-made rules to be right with God. Nail them to the cross, because Jesus paid it all. You're now right with God by your faith in his Son. That's how you're right with God. This other stuff will work out later. Getting right with God is what's important first, and having the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, then you won't want to do this stuff anymore. You see, I owe you nothing now. Jesus paid it all. And now, you see, now I owe him everything. Don't post nothing up here. I owe you nothing, but I owe him everything. That's why I asked Pastor to do this song for me this week. All to him I owe. I owe Jesus. We owe him everything for who he is, for what he's done. He's posted all of these rules and laws that you could never keep, nailed them there on the place, nailed them on this bulletin board of his own cross. And he says, never again are these things going to have the authority over you ever again. Took them all out of the way, nailed them to the cross. Post no bills, post no rules, post no regulations, because Jesus paid it all. Because I can't pay the bill, the price is too high. And I don't have what's required to pay this. My blood can't redeem me. Also, I can't keep your rules. Once you tell me not to do it, now I want to do it. I was fine until you told me that. Paul says, once the commandment was given, sin revived, and I died. Also, I can't keep your regulations. Don't do this, don't do that, don't lift a finger on this day, don't walk more than a mile on a Saturday. See, no one understands, all these commandments are righteous in and of themselves. They were all designed to lead you to cry out like the Apostle Paul, who said, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" That's what this stuff is designed for, to bring you to your knees. And you confess that you can't do this on your own anymore, that you need help. I can't do this. I need help. I need help. Look, here's my favorite go-to verse to explain all this. It's Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says this. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that." See, catch that. It's the grace of God that teaches you this. "Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, so that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, that would be you, zealous for good works. Zealous is in Greek, instead of the H and the C in your shower, the, it's there, it's the Z. For on fire or hot, it's the Z in their shower. This is what he's doing to you. This is the work that he's working out in you. Zealous, on fire, be fervent in spirit, as he wrote. Okay, verse 16. Now that's our new life, church family. We celebrate this today here in God's house. Now let's go to verse 16. Starts with a therefore, which sums up what we've just looked at. Okay? Therefore, I think I'm in the NIV again. He says, therefore, since all of this stuff has been nailed to the cross and taken out of the way, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, or a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, or the substance, however, is found in Christ. Do not, verse 18, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. Ha! That's right out of today's newspaper. False humility, not genuine, or putting on a show, or pretending to be all holy. Haven't you seen them maybe on the television before? Also, Paul warns here about all the people that are out here worshiping angels. Look, angels are very, 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 very upset if you worship them. This is absolute anathema to worship an angel. Look at what one angel said to the Apostle John, who was contemplating worshiping an angel. Revelation chapter 19, verse 9. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. At this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you who keep to the testimonies of Jesus. Then he says, worship God. Now, John made the same mistake of doing this again. I don't get it. How could he do it? Revelation 22:8. He said, I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Now, I find it very telling that even the Apostle John, even in heaven, that he would commit this same sin twice. You know, that's the last place that I want to sin, is in heaven. It's bad enough all the sin I commit here. He did this twice in 5 minutes for the love of Pete, or for the love of John. Look, Jesus' closest friend on planet Earth twice is trying to worship an angel while he's up there. God help all of us. This must be fairly easy to commit if he could do this twice. Again, verse 16, this time let me read it from the New King James. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and the worship of angels. intruding into those things which they have not seen, vainly puffed up by this fleshly mind. And, verse 19, not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Now we see this here today. Forgetting Jesus, the head, and substituting something or someone else to worship. Don't we see that all around us here today? Don't certain churches do this? Where they're falling away from the head, who is Christ, worshiping something or someone else. This is an old problem. Now, verse 19, this time from the NIV. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Therefore, since you died with Christ, all right, where did this happen? So he's assuming you've done this. Let's keep reading. Therefore, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, why do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, or as they'd say in Italian, keep your hands off. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with the use, are based on the commandments and doctrines of men. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom where their self-imposed religion or worship, their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sexual indulgence. All right, let's stop here for the day. The end of chapter 2. Now let me sum up what's happening here with these guys and with this church that he's never visited, okay? Then we're going to have communion here. The problem that was creeping into this church was known as Gnosticism. Gnosis, that's G-N-O-S-I-S. Gnosis is the Greek word for knowledge. So the problem in this group here, the problem is with spiritual know-it-alls. Just like you have out here in the church today, all around us, spiritual know-it-alls who think that because they have all this spirit knowledge that they're smarter than everybody else. Because they think that they possess something that other people and other Christians don't possess. They're modern-day Gnostics, and they're still out here in the church today. Just like they were back then, they're still all around us. Even on this street, they're all around us. Spiritual Gnostics who think that they're better than you and know God more than you and are closer to Him than you are. And this is a 2,000-year-old lie that's still being swallowed hook, line, and sinker here by the church. Remember how we started this? You are complete in Him. No Christian is better than you. But back then, you see, the Gnostics held to a different belief. They believed in a distant and unknowable God, which is why Paul said to the church there, Jesus is the fullness of God in bodily form. They didn't believe that. The Gnostics were wrong, and that is, God can be known. He can be known through His Son, Jesus Christ. Gnostics believe in salvation through knowledge or enlightenment. Now, I also want to make the statement that once again, we discover the significance of baptism. That it's not just making a statement. It's not just an outward sign of an inward grace. The Lord's been revealing to us here these past 2 years that is much more significant than that. Verse 12, we read, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. Look, again, that happens here and nowhere else. Buried with Him and being raised up together with Him
happens here in the water, nowhere else.
So I want you to see the spiritual significance of what happens when you're baptized. Look, the Lord Jesus gave us two ordinances to keep to the church.
That's one, and this here is the other.
That's it. Only these two. Look at what happened when Jesus was baptized. Let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? So Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Now, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice was heard from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, or houtos estin houios mou, hou agapetos on judikesa. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, he says. Listen to him. Now, I believe that when you are baptized, similar things will happen to you as well. As the Lord said, whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. I believe that. I don't have to. It's in the book. It's the truth. Whether I believe it or not, it's truth. You get up here and die with him. That's the symbol. Up you come. You're raised again. You call on the name of the Lord. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. I confess his name. He's promised, according to his word, that he will confess your name as well. That's good news.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.